But Gerrard! Yes, it is Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of FPL 360. Sean and I are back with another transfer special.
Yeah, we had planned on recording this Sunday night after the United States-Mexico World Cup final, but with the way transfers have been coming in, we thought it would be safe to wait another day, and what do you know, there was more transfers.
Yeah, we've finally reached the apex of silly season after the transfer window was taking so long to get started.
Yeah, so I guess we should probably dive in with the biggest signing, in my opinion. This is one that was long rumored and expected. Yuri Tielemans has re-upped, joining Leicester on a permanent transfer after signing on loan. This is one that we kind of was just waiting to get over the line. Do you think 40 million was about right for him, or are Leicester getting a good deal?
I think 40 million is probably a steal, because you think about it, and usually in try before you buy transfers, the buying team gets upcharged after it's like, he worked for you guys, we know you need him, so pay up. But 40 mils, really not bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what he did, it was 3 goals, 4 assists, and 13 appearances. And going through the numbers and kind of seeing where he stacked up, I mean, granted, 13, that's probably like the low floor, what I look at for a sample size in terms of kind of projecting outward. But 2.4 shots, 1.2 key passes is pretty good, playing as pretty much the shuttling midfielder in that Leicester, what was pretty much a five-man midfield towards the end of the season under Rodgers.
Yeah, those are not bad stats, and that's what's already made Yuri, what is he going? It's like a top 5-round draft pick right now in mocks.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I didn't include him in my initial ranks, which I'm going to have to go redo for both FPL and Fantrax with Taga scoring, because I had a feeling he was going to get signed by Leicester. It seemed like a done deal, but then again, you never know with silly season. Right now, I would say he's definitely a top 20 midfielder. I'd probably put him maybe towards the back end, closer to 17 or 18. And that's simply because, yeah, his numbers are great in terms of underlying statistics. But, you know, 3 goals and 4 assists from 13 matches, like, I don't see him being a 9-goal, 14-assist man. I think that's too high.
But could he be an 8-8?
Yeah, it's going to be – it's very interesting, because if you look at the composition of that midfield with Eozy Perez, who Leicester got over the line for 30 million, there's a lot of talent there. It's going to be – it's a good problem for Brendan Rodgers to have. I mean, Madison, Tielemans, Perez, and you have Damari Gray, Harvey Barnes, and Didi. It's going to be interesting. I mean, in my opinion, it's going to be one of the wingers missing out. But do you think we'll see maybe Perez on the right and Barnes on the left with Madison and Tielemans in the middle?
Or... So that's what's, this is what's tough with Leicester, because they ended last season in kind of a pseudo 4-3-3 with James Madison actually playing as a central midfielder alongside Tielemans ahead of Wilfried Ndidi. But all signs right now kind of point to either a front three of Barnes, Vardy, Perez, with Madison and Tielemans in midfield ahead of Ndidi, or playing a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 with Barnes. I'm only saying Barnes because of the fact that I think that he offers a lot more than Damari Gray. And it's not that I don't like Damari Gray. It's just Barnes is the more complete guy at this point, but with Barnes and Madison on either wing.
Yeah, I would like to see them play kind of that 4-4-1-1 that they used when they won the title. I think Perez could slot in underneath Vardy, and Madison's proven that whether he's out on the wing or in central midfield, it's not going to hinder his offensive numbers. The thing that I'm a little bit skeptical of, or I wanted to actually get your opinion on this, I didn't get to ask you before we recorded. Do you think that that midfield is too attacking?
Not necessarily, because number one is the fact that Wilfred Ndidi is N'Golo Kante light, and that is what he was billed at when he was signed, and so far I've seen nothing to actually dispute that. There's also the fact that it's not like Tielemans doesn't put in a defensive shift. He's just not known as a defense-first midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, his offensively geared skill set helps him defend. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know he's pretty proficient at intercepting the ball.
I'm pulling them up as you talk right now.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Perez at $6.5 million in OFPL, I mean, it's a steal because he's playing midfield. I wasn't too hot on him with Benitez gone, but now he's on Leicester, so it's completely different. The one thing, I guess that it's just where he fits in and whether Rodgers from the get-go puts him in that starting 11 or if he decides to work him in. I mean, obviously that's something we won't know until preseason comes around, but from looking at Perez's numbers last season, I mean, he scored all 12 of his goals from inside the box, 44 of his 55 shots were inside the area, and he converted at around 22%, which is puts him in the top 10
for
Premier League strikers.
Slightly above Vardy's, because Vardy's career rate is around 21%.
Yeah, so I'm excited because the one thing Leicester has lacked, the one thing Kelechi Iheanacho has not been able to come, is that consistent secondary scoring option. Now, obviously, Perez is a different player to Shinji Okazaki, but having a guy with the work rate like Okazaki, you change that out for Perez's nose for goal in the box, and I think him and Vardy could be a very good combination if they're playing alongside each other, which is unlikely, but with Perez playing off of Vardy, it's a very good situation from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's upgrading from Shinji Okazaki to Ayoze Perez, I don't know how you can lose out in that, to be honest. And it's not like Leicester's been blessed with having great target forwards, because everyone that they've tried to sign to back up or play along Vardy outside of Okazaki has been crap, because Kelechi Iheanacho can't hit the back of a paper bag.
Soleimani was trash.
Yeah, Soleimani's gone and was trash. Didn't they have Uyola at one point?
Who?
They had
Ahmed Musa for a bit, but he never landed.
He was really fast, though.
Yeah. So, I guess to wrap up Leicester, Perez was someone I thought was going to regress,
not
primarily
anymore,
because of being on Newcastle. How does he move in your rankings?
At this point, he is like his signing. It unfortunately moves Vardy back from being a mid, like actually probably a high end forward to a low-end forward too, but it probably puts him pretty close to Vardy as a low-end forward too. Because the one thing that I'm concerned about is I think this also means that Brendan Rodgers is realizing, hey, Jamie Vardy is getting fucking old. And considering that Vardy scored in almost every bench appearance that he made last year, this could be the beginning of Vardy the bench player as opposed to Vardy the starter. Not saying that Jamie Vardy is going to be on the bench for more than half of the games, but if Leicester's playing two games in a week, Vardy's probably going to sit one now.
The thing I like about Perez the most is that because he is able to poach and he's very opportunistic with taking his chances, there's a big market for him to score goals on Leicester, being as he brings a different element to that 11 than Vardy does up front. And with the amount of shots that Maddison, Tielemans, Harvey Barnes take, there's going to be a ton of chances for him to poke balls in, especially when they're playing lower half teams.
Oh, he's going to be in a striker's dream.
Yeah. So we've gone a little bit long there, but it seems
it's
like the
okay,
consensus
it's worth it.
Good signing there. And this kind of signals the end to Kelechi Iheanacho, RIP. I guess the next club we'll go to, who do you want to go to next?
I think at this point we need to talk about the Chicharito effect, right?
Yeah, so as we mentioned on the last episode, the Arnie saga at West Ham, it's finally over. He's gone. He's headed to China.
And you know what?
He wanted more money.
I'm happy it's done. I'm tired of the Arnie yearly transfer request. He ended up being hurt for a decent amount of last season and slash was ineffective for probably about half of the games that he actually did play in.
He's kind of a baby back bitch.
Now be putting it lightly.
Yeah. So with him out the door, it seemed like Chicharito was going to be the one gone, and then I saw an interview with him on West Ham's website over the last couple of days saying that he's happy to be back. I couldn't tell if this is propaganda saying he really, really wants to leave or we're not going to sell him.
I genuinely don't believe that Chicharito wants to leave West Ham. I think at this
They can't afford to let him leave at this point.
Well, yeah, because if you're losing Andy Carroll and Lucas Perez, you don't have much of a choice but to keep Chicharito. But there's also the fact that per minute, Chicharito was West Ham's best attacker last year.
Yeah, with Chicharito, I mean, I think he's got pretty much gotten a raw deal wherever he's been. But at the same time, it plays into his strength, him coming off the bench. And it's probably in West Ham's best interest to keep him happy and keep him there, because from what we've seen, it seems like they're going to be going after Maxi Gomez from Celta Vigo in the La Liga. Sorry, I had a little brain slip right there. And that's putting faith in a guy to come into the Premier League who's young, even though he's promising, but in his first season, and just step right into Arnie. So I think it's in their best interest that they keep Chicharito around. I don't think they just can't afford to lose him at this point, unless they want Jordan Hugo leading the line when this season kicks off, and I don't think anyone wants that. Yeah. And he's probably out on loan if he already isn't. But to get back to fantasy in here, let's say for now West Ham enter the season, Chicharito is the number one. Where would you put him in terms of draft fantasy target scoring?
With all of their healthy, so are you saying?
Is he
where would I put him for the season, or where would I put him for the first 4 weeks?
Let's say, where would you? That's a good point. I guess what I was getting at more. Is he a like-for-like swap with Arnie in your rankings, or would you value him higher
because
or lower?
No, I've actually, when I did my forward rankings, I gave Arnie a nice big hit because of this transfer request and the fact that he genuinely might finally leave. But I'm not I definitely would not give Chicharito that same hit. So, looking at things, let's see, because I had Arnie ranked as my forward 20. Chicharito is probably forward 15.
Really? Okay, yeah, I mean,
when you look at the attacking power that West Ham has, they'll really have no issues scoring goals, because Chicharito is kind of a better version of Jose Perez.
Yeah, because he doesn't need to create the score. He's just, like we say, kind of a fox in the box poacher. That's when he's at his best. Yeah, I might be a little bit lower on him, though. To be honest, I probably put him more towards 20.
I mean, that's fine.
Just because, I mean, I don't know. But he doesn't take a ton of shots. That's my thing. So he's kind of a goal or no goal. He's too goal dependent, in my opinion, for draft. I mean,
I mean that was Arnie as well, though.
Yeah, but that was only really him last season. I mean, his shooting numbers were down with him kind of throwing temper tantrums about getting more money.
Which is, it's funny that he got more money and still left.
Yeah, some people just aren't happy. And then quickly on Gomez, he's been attracting a lot of attention. He scored 30 goals in 71 appearances for Celta Vigo since he's been there. He's a young player. He's 22. He's very physical. Do you think? I mean, do we even know enough about him to speculate at this point? In terms of ranking?
So, remember what happened, and I unfortunately remember it very well, with a highly rated Spanish striker coming to the Premier League. You know who I'm going to name here.
Yeah.
Soldado. Love the man. But, good lord, he could not put up.
So, I would say if West Ham roll with Chicharito, let's say we get Maxi Gomez over the line.
The I'd good probably thing,
put Gomez is maybe like a back end second forward, third forward.
I mean, that's fair. Gomez is going to get drafted highly because you're going to anticipate that he's taken over by the end of the year. Hmm. Also, a great thing, Chicharito has played in La Liga. So, if anyone can help Maxi Gomez with the switch and is also, you know, a good enough teammate to not fuck Maxi Gomez over in the switch, it's Chicharito.
Well, sticking with the topic of La Liga, Manchester City have finally added someone who can fill in and most likely take over long-term for Fernandinho. And that is with a big money signing of Rodri from Atletico Madrid. I'm excited about this, not as a Manchester United supporter, I'm pretty heated, but is this going to be Fernandinho phased out throughout the season, or do you think this could be by halfway through, it's just Rodri's spot at the base of that midfield?
So this is what's interesting, because I think Rodri and Fernandinho will end up splitting time regardless of the price tag, because, like, look at what City paid for Mahrez. Like, it's not like they care of spending money and then saying we need to start the player. But
also with the cup competitions and playing in Europe, I mean, it was pretty apparent that they just did not play well without Fernandinho.
Exactly. No, that's what I was literally about to get into.
Okay, sorry.
City's biggest problem last year was Fernandinho missing any game time, because as much as Pep wanted to try him there, John Stones is not a defensive midfielder. Ilkay Gundogan is more of a holding midfielder than a defensive midfielder. So, they've, unfortunately for the rest of the league, addressed their biggest deficiency.
Yeah, Yeah,
it sucks a lot.
Yeah,
for everyone. Where's financial fair play?
Yeah, I think that's kind of just like a made up thing.
Financial fair play only matters if you're a mid table squad or lower.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a rule. It's just like, it's frowned upon to not obey it, but it doesn't really get enforced, in my opinion. In terms of fantasy value, though, I don't really see what him having value? Any. Yeah, is there any in draft?
I wouldn't touch him at all. I don't mind drafting a central defensive midfielder, but if I'm drafting one, I'm drafting one that's starting all 38 games for the season. Yeah. Rodri's not.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of his attacking numbers from last season, he had 3 goals, 1 assist, averaged less than 1 shot per game.
Bagged 3? That's...
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of his defensive metrics, 1.2 interceptions, 3 tackles per game, but that's not enough, like you said, with him kind of being rotated to really suggest he's worth drafting. I mean, maybe a plug and play here or there, but no real interest for me. Manchester City's other signing, I believe they activated, so they've brought back Angelino from PSV for $7 million. I believe this was activation of a buyback clause.
That it was.
Yeah, so he comes in, this is a depth signing, really.
This is a
Signing. Yeah, when Mendy gets hurt.
But Mendy's not healthy, so not even when. Mendy is hurt.
According to the comments from Pep I saw most recently, he said that Mendy's injury issues are behind him.
Uh-huh. I won't take a single Pep quote at face value ever.
Yeah, so Angelino's someone I guess to keep an eye on if when the injuries arise, he definitely will have value.
Unfortunately, he's still second fiddle to Zinchenko.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really just a depth signing, not much else there. Ash and Villa have continued bolstering their defense. Last week we talked about Matt Target. This week we're going to be talking about Tyrone Mings, who they signed from Bournemouth for $26 million, which is...
a whole lot of money.
That is a hefty fee for Mings.
But it's one of those things where, like, this is... going back to what we were saying about Leicester earlier, where teams usually charge you more for a player that they know works in your system. That's what Bournemouth did here. Because is Tyrone Mings worth $26 million to any other team? No. Is he worth $26 million to Aston Villa? Yes.
Yeah, he was on loan there last season in the Championship. So that makes sense to have some, rather than going out and buying someone and having them be worked into the team, if you get someone who's familiar with the squad. Is he... I mean, I know we talked about Target having some value in fantasy. What about Mings?
Nope. I don't really want anything to do with Villa center backs. It's not that I necessarily think that Villa's the worst promoted team defense, because they're not. We're going to talk about the worst defense later when we do the promoted teams. It's just there's nothing exciting about their midfield.
Yeah, I mean, you have Grealish.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Yeah, so I mean, that's, as we'll continue to encounter, it's a good signing with no real fantasy input. Moving on to the action with the other promoted sides, Ralph Fairman has been signed on loan from Schalke by Norwich. He comes in, he's got over 200 apps for Schalke in all competitions. He's got experience in Europa League, Champions League, and the thing that we came across is he's known for stopping penalties. In his career at Schalke, he kept out 14 of 49. So that's, you know, that's, it's decently notable. The only issue is whether he starts over Tim Krul.
Good question. Genuinely don't know, and this is why we watch preseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the event that he is the number one, and he's at 4.5 million in FPL, which I don't know if his number, if his price has come out yet, just because it was a recent transfer. That's something to consider. That's something to consider. But until we know more, again, that's kind of something we'll have to wait on. Sheffield United have also signed someone to bolster their defense, bringing in Phil Jagielka from Everton on a free.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this signing because Jagielka has it in him to be able to start a few more Premier League games. And even if he doesn't, Sheffield needed the depth in defense. So what's better than bringing in a proven Premier League defender to bolster the ranks?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I had a feeling him, maybe we'll see Gary Cahill somewhere. But yeah, this is a smart signing by Sheffield United. Probably see him get anywhere between maybe 10 to 15 starts. And if injuries arise, maybe more.
But, and it's literally just free money.
Yeah, since he's coming in on a free. The other transfer of note, Bournemouth have once again dipped their toes in the championship, signing Jack Stacey from Luton, who was promoted last season from League One. Stacey's a pretty versatile defender. Chuck knows a little bit more than I do, so I'm going to hand the reins over here.
Oh, I mean, it's essentially, one, it's very interesting that Luton has been rated for their quote-unquote outside backs.
Yeah.
Because Leicester signed one and Bournemouth signed the other. But Stacey can play anywhere across the back line, which makes it very interesting for Bournemouth because it looks like, number one, that in the past 2 years they hired a legitimate director of football. And number two, they're setting up to be able to hit you in multiple different formations this year.
Yeah, it's also interesting because he is very versatile. And at left back, you have aging Charlie Daniels. You have Diego Rico, who they signed last year, who in a couple games didn't impress enough to hold on to the spot when Daniels is back. So, I mean, I don't really expect him to be starting by the midpoint of the season, but he's definitely one for the future and someone to keep an eye on if you're interested in tracking young talent coming into the league.
Most definitely.
For now, if injuries arise, you know, he could be someone to use as a plug and play if he gets minutes. But for now, you know, he's just someone to keep an eye on and track. And the other move, Burnley have added Eric Peters from Stoke City. This is competition for Charlie Taylor at left back. I don't see Peters being a real threat, although Charlie Taylor hasn't really done enough to convince me that that spot is completely his. Do you think there's a chance that Peters ends up in a timeshare with Taylor?
I mean, he started Premier League games, so there's always a chance if he impresses in training. But we have to remember, Peters is 30. It's not like he's necessarily going to come in and truly be ready to learn a new defensive system, because Burnley is completely different than the lack of positional awareness that he had to have at Stoke.
Yeah, so yeah, this is a depth signing here. It is interesting, though, looking at Burnley, because one of the rumors that's being floated that seems more likely than not is J. Rodriguez returning. He was at the club from 2007 to 2012. Then he went to Southampton, then to West Brom.
Why does he keep getting Premier League moves?
I mean, because he's cheap.
But they have Vidra really on their books, who's the same type of player?
I mean, Vidra didn't really do much when he had a chance last season.
You can also argue that he wasn't really allowed to do much because he never really got a chance last season.
That's fair. I mean, I don't... Let me look at what fee is being thrown around for Rodriguez. But, I mean, I guess it's... I guess
if it ain't free, it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Rodriguez was at Burnley forever, and then when they got promoted, he got sold. But, yeah, I mean, you have Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes, obviously. But I'm seeing something maybe around $10 million for him.
I mean, I've already said if it ain't free, it's too much.
Yeah. And, yeah, the Peter signing, I guess, is important because with Steven Ward having left, they did need some more cover. And I think Ward actually signed with Stoke City, so they went the other way.
Yeah, that was a very interesting thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's pretty much it in terms of the stuff that has happened since our last transfer episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically we like Perez, and then some other stuff has happened.
Yeah. We will be back later this week with episodes previewing Sheffield United and Norwich City in our first two of three editions, looking at the Premier League clubs that are newly promoted. So without pandering, remember, follow us on Twitter at FPL_360 and listen to our podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found.